Good evening, everybody. And yes, I'm nervous again. Make sure I turn this on. Okay, normally, before you usually you read the scripture and then you pray, but since I'm really nervous, we're going to pray first, and then I'll read the scripture. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your word, and I thank you for calling me to preach your word, Lord, and I just pray you'll be with me tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll call me down, Lord, help me to gather my thoughts, Lord, but I pray that you'll be speaking through me, Lord, and it'll be your words that they hear, Lord, and it'll be the words that you'd have me to say, Lord. I just pray that you use my body, Lord, and you use my voice. Lord, help me to be a blessing to people, Lord, and I just pray that they'll listen, Lord, and they'll pay attention, and they'll apply to the things that they hear tonight. That are coming from you, Lord, not from me, and apply them to their life, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn to Haggai, or Haggai, as my son Austin told me I wasn't pronouncing it right. Chapter 1. When you get there, please stand. The hardest part for me about preaching out of the Old Testament is pronouncing the names. So if I mess them up, bear with me. Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled. But ye are not filled with drink, ye clothe you, but there is none warm, and he that earneth wages is put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You may be seated. To give a little bit of background to this scripture, you have to go to Ezra. If you want to turn with me there, you can. The book of Ezra, in chapter 1. It says, Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who there is among you of all his people, his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. So they went up, they gathered all the people together, and they went up and they started building the house of God. They got together, they started doing everything they were supposed to do. They got all the material, all the money. They paid the carpenters and the masons. They did everything that they were supposed to do. They did what Cyrus was telling them to do. If you turn to Ezra chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. So they laid the foundation of the Lord, they laid the foundation of the temple. And they all started praising, they all started singing, they all started shouting. And in verse 13, at the end of that verse, it says, For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise were heard afar off. Now remember when we bought the land out on Infirmary Road? How we were all happy about it, and we shouted, and we said hallelujah, and praise the Lord, and we said all those things? That's what they did here. Yeah, there's no foundation there, physically. But if you have faith, and you, like preacher says, he can see the church. We all seen the church. Preacher took us out there. He walked us through the church building.
Yeah.
How many people remember that?
Yeah, I do.
We physically walked through the church building. The church that's not there. But the church is there in our mind. And we have to have faith that it's there. They all shouted. We all shouted amen. Imagine when we do build the foundation, how are we going to shout? We're going to shout amen. We're going to sing hallelujah. We're going to sing praise to the Lord. And it says in chapter 4, now when the adversary of Judah and Benjamin heard the children of the captivity build the temple unto the Lord. People heard them shout. People heard the praises of God. They're going to hear us in the jail when we're over there shouting. Because when we put that first shovel in the ground, we're going to be shouting amen, and the people in the jail are going to hear us. And I guarantee you, they're going to shout amen. Because if you go to the jail ministry, it's, oh yeah, we see the property outside the window all the time. We see what's going on. There's people watching us as a church waiting for us to build. They're always, oh, you guys are the one building that church. And they always ask the preacher, when are you going to build that? Did you start building yet? I say, no, we're waiting on God to give us the money. No, we're waiting on the Lord. And which we are. We're waiting on God to do that.
Yeah.
That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. As they shouted and they had the foundation built, how we get back to Haggai that we read at the beginning, look at Ezra chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. It says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. They were excited about building a house, then the people that were their adversaries, their enemies, came and frustrated them, came and discouraged them from building. They even wrote a letter to King Darius and say, these people that are building, they are rebellious people. They're going to do all these things. They're not going to pay taxes. They're going to be against the government. You got to stop it. So King Darius said, you know what? I'm going to check into it. He looked back in the books and said, you're right. They are rebellious. So go tell them they cannot build no more. So they had to stop building. And that's how we get to Haggai. When you go back to Haggai, the same people are there. Now, those people were discouraged from building. The same thing's going to happen here. The same thing has happened here in this church. There were people in this church, and there may still be people in this church, that don't want to build a building out there. There's people that say things to discourage us. There's people that have been at this church that have said things to other people in the church to discourage us from building the building. They say things like, no way we can build it. It's too much money. The economy's bad. We can't build it. We don't need it. We can't afford it. We got to fill this building first before we build out there. What are we building the building for? We're just building the building because of the school. All these different things. Yeah, it is a lot of money. No, we can't afford it. We couldn't afford it. And if this building was packed out, we couldn't afford it. That's what you got to understand. We can't afford $2 million on our own. But God can. God can build that building. God can do all those things. Matthew 19, 26 says, with God, all things are possible. If you look at Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8, it says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. So it's not too expensive for God.
Amen.
And we know that saying, and we say it all the time, well, God owns all the money, all the cattle on the hill. But do we really believe it? Do we really believe that God is going to provide that for us? Just like Preacher Sunday, when he preached, we have to pray. But you have to pray and have faith. You have to pray and believe what you're praying. If you don't believe what you're praying, then you're just saying words. Then it's going nowhere. We have to believe that God can do that. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God can build that building? I personally believe that we do.
Amen.
My question is, and this is a question when I first started reading this, thinking about the building, what are we doing as a church to get the building built? But if you look at Haggai, it says, consider your ways. It doesn't say consider the church's ways. It doesn't say consider the preacher's ways, because that's the first thing people do is, well, preacher's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, or we would have had that church built. It must be something he's doing wrong. That's why God's not giving us the money. And I guarantee you there's people that thought that. You won't raise your hand, but I know there are people have. Because I've heard people say that. Well, what's going on with the leadership? It must be their fault. And we think, well, it must be someone else's fault. There's got to be something going on in this church why God's not giving us the money. Because I thought that. What are we doing wrong as a church? What are we doing We believe the Bible. We preach His Word. We stand on the King James Bible. We go out soul winning. We do all the things we're supposed to do, yet God's not giving us the money. But then as I read this, it says, consider your ways. Just like preacher said, you have to examine your own heart. I had to examine myself. What am I doing to get that church building built? And I'll be honest with you, I don't pray for it every day. And if you'd be honest, most of you don't pray for it every day either. When we first got it, I prayed for it every day. And then as time goes on, you kind of get complacent. Oh, yeah, well, we got the church property. But that building's lying in waste out there. But what am I doing? I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. The main thing that we can do to get that building built is get down on our knees and pray.
Yeah.
Just like he preached Sunday. And he begged us, get down on your knees and pray. Pray to God, because that's the only thing that we have right now is praying to God.
Yeah.
And Mark's song, our prayers are to God, or as strong as God is. When we pray, we're praying to an all-powerful God. We're praying to a God that controls everything. That's how we're going to get it. We're not going to get it on our own. As far as I know, there's no millionaires here. We're not going to, the money is going to come from God. Whether it's through the Lasco Foundation or whoever it's from. If God sends somebody, it's going to come from God. So that's what we need to pray. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? And I'm asking you, consider your ways of what are you doing to get that church building built? Don't consider the ways of other people, because that's what we do as Christians especially. Well, they're probably not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're probably not praying. They probably don't do what they're supposed to do. But we don't look on ourselves. Examine your own self. This is what I always try to tell the teenagers.
Yeah.
Don't look at other people and say, well, he's preaching to them. This message is perfect for that person.
Yeah.
This message is perfect for you.
Yeah.
That's what it's saying. Consider your ways.
Right.
And I had to consider my ways. For the people that say, we got to fill this building first before we even move out there. There's no reason to even build a building because this isn't full yet. If you want to believe that, that's fine. But I want to say, consider your ways of how are you filling this building? Not, you can say, well, we have church visitation, we have church bus ministry, we have ABL, we have this and we have that. Yes, the church does have that. But again, consider your way. What is your part in all that? What are you doing to fill this building? Are you inviting people? I don't invite people all the time. I'm guilty. I'll be the first to admit it. Are you praying that this building gets filled? Again, I don't pray all the time for that. As preacher said, the thing that's lacking most in my life is prayer. Not because I'm doing anything that's sinful and wrong, but it is sinful not to pray, because the Bible says we're supposed to pray without ceasing. But that's I'm not doing anything bad. I just don't have time to pray. I'm working. I'm doing this. I'm helping my kids study. I can find all kinds of good things that I'm doing why I can't pray. But that's still not an excuse. We need to get down on our knees and pray. If we want to build this building here, so, as you people say, not you people, but people in general say, until we fill this, we can't get out there. Well, let's build this building, fill this building up, so we can get out there. But what are we doing here? What are you doing? I had to ask myself, what am I doing? Because to be honest with you, I don't go on visitation every Saturday either. And I don't think most of the people in here do either. Because we don't have 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 people showing up for visitation. We have 4, 8, 10. You can say, well, I don't want it. Saturday's a bad day for me to go on visitation. Okay. Do you invite people when you're outside anywhere else? Do you pass out tracts? Do you invite your friends? Just tell people, hey, this is my church, come visit us sometime. You never know. Are we doing everything we can to get people to come? And again, examine your own life. Don't look at other people. Don't say, well, the church is doing everything we can. It doesn't come down to the church. It comes down to you and it comes down to me. It doesn't come down to the preacher or Pastor Dave. It comes down to each individual person. If we do what we're supposed to do as an individual, then the group will take care of itself. And I'll give a football analogy. A football team has 11 players. Each player has a certain thing they're supposed to do on each individual play. Each individual play on offense is designed to score a touchdown. You say, well, what are they running up the middle for? That's a dumb play. But it's designed that if everyone makes their block, they run up the middle and they get a touchdown. Somebody broke down in their assignment. Our assignment is to do what we can to build God's house. Your assignment is to do what you can do. If you do your job, and that person does their job, we all do our job as a group, everything will get done. There's one more house that I want to talk about. You say, well, how many houses do we have? We have this house, we have that house. I'm going to talk about the house that God dwells in daily. You and me. God dwells inside of you. And I know the kids are going, oh, again? Because I preach at chapel, and I preach in Sunday school. Basically the same message, a little bit different. But God didn't change what I was supposed to preach. Are you building a house that God lives in daily? Are you building that house the way it's supposed to be built? You say, well, what are you talking about? You have to understand that God owns you. 1 Corinthians 3:6, 3:6 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So if you're a saved person, God is living inside of you through his Spirit. A house is a dwelling place. So since he dwells in you, you are his house. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? The Bible says you're bought with a price.
Yes.
What was that price? That price was Christ dying on the cross.
Yeah.
That price was his life.
Yeah.
Now, there was, and I told the kids this, there was a Russian billionaire who put down a deposit of $53 million on a house in Monaco. He walked away from the deal. He lost his deposit of $53 million. He's the guy that's going to buy the New York Knicks, by the way. So it's no big deal to him. The man, he's in his 40s. He's the second richest man in Russia. $53 million was nothing. But like I told the kids, that's a lot of money. But you know what? The house that Christ paid for, you and me, we're worth way more than that.
Yeah.
He gave his life for you and me. He gave his life to dwell inside of you. And if we look at each other, we're thinking, man, he didn't pick a very nice house. Look at that house. I would have picked that house, but he did.
Yes.
And you know what? You have no choice but to keep a good house for him because he bought you. He paid the price. You sold him your house. Like I told the kids, he didn't take the house over. He didn't foreclose on it. The government didn't come take it. You invited him in.
Right.
You said, please, buy my house. Please come and live inside of me. You ask him to live inside of you when you got saved.
Yes.
Now it's your responsibility to be a good house to him, to be the house that he deserves to live in. And just like back in Ezra, there's going to be people to discourage you from being a good house, from building your house. How do you build God's house? You don't build God's house. You let God build his house.
Yes.
Because we can't build his house. It's his Spirit that lives in us. Our spirit, we are fleshly people. We are carnal people. We invited him in. Now we have his Spirit, so he has to build his own house. The thing is, you have to let Christ build that house. Turn to Colossians 3:15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You have to let God rule in your hearts. You have to let God build you. You have to let God do those things. You can't do it on your own. But you can stop him from building his house. You can discourage him, just like back in Ezra. They got discouraged, so they quit building. How many people have gotten saved, asked Christ to come in, and now their house is, the foundation's there, but it's lying in waste? That goes the same for human beings. The foundation is there, which is Jesus Christ, but their house isn't being built. It's lying in waste. You say, well, how does that happen? Because we discourage Christ from building his house. How do you discourage it? By living fleshly. Galatians talks about the lust of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The lust of the flesh is the way that we live as human beings. Our body desires those things because we're human beings. Our body desires things that the spirit doesn't. So our house is a house that's fighting. But what you do with that is up to you. You can let Christ build it, or you can discourage Christ from building it. You can grieve the Holy Spirit, as the Bible talks about, or you can encourage the Spirit. We can encourage each other. There's people that will say, when you try to build a spiritual home for God, there's people that'll say, "What are you doing? Why are you reading your Bible? What do you mean? Why are you only listening to gospel music? Why are you only listening to Christian music? Why don't you go to movies? Why don't you watch certain shows? How come you don't hang around us? How come you don't do those things? Because you're trying to build a house." People will say, "Well, why do that? It doesn't really matter what you do. You have to let the Spirit guide you and let the Spirit tell you what to do. The Spirit is the most important thing. The Spirit is the most important thing, the Holy Spirit. Problem is, we're not spiritual enough to discern what Spirit is telling us what to do. We say, well, the Spirit will tell me to do this, but yeah, but that's your spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
That's the problem. We can't discern that. So how do we know? By this. This tells us what to do. If it goes against this, then you're doing wrong. If it lines up with this, you're doing right. It's not that hard. I try to tell the teenagers, you got to read your Bible so you know what to do. We can say, people say, well, let your heart guide you. Nope, the Bible says your heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So our heart can't guide us. Our spirit can't guide us. So what do? We have to listen to the Bible. We have to listen to the preacher. We have to know what the Bible says and let the Holy Spirit guide us. People will try to discourage you when you try to live a holy life. They'll say, well, you don't need to, how come you don't dress like everybody else dresses and dress the cool way? How come you don't wear a bathing suit? It's summertime. Why don't you wear shorts? Aren't you hot? You say, well, some people say, well, dressing the way that you dress, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean nothing. That's just, you're just a, people say, legalistic or closed-minded or, and as Baptists, you can say we're closed-minded, but we're not closed-minded. We're closed-minded to the world.
Amen.
Our only mind is to mind this Bible.
Amen.
And that's why people don't like Baptists. Right. That's why people talk against us. That's why people say, well, I don't want to be a Baptist because they're too strict. They got too many rules. We don't have rules. How many rules do we have in this church? The rule is to join a church, you have to be saved and baptized. That's according to the Bible.
Yeah.
Preacher doesn't say, you have to wear certain clothes to be a member here. You have to do this, you have to do that. Now, we will say, when you go somewhere, you need to dress like a Christian. But that's what God wants you to do. God wants us to be that way. What do we do? What kind of house are we for God? And like I told the kids, just because you look good, and like I said, I put on a suit, hopefully I look nice. Just because you look good doesn't make you a good house. Just because you look bad doesn't make you a bad house either. It's what's on the inside that counts. We can dress up. We can look the part of a good house. If you drive down the street, and as I told the kids, if you drive down the street and you see all these nice homes, you think, man, that's a really nice house. If people will look at you when you're all dressed up and say, well, he really looks nice. But if the house isn't nice on the inside, if it's a trashy mess, if it's full of garbage and full of clutter and full of things that shouldn't be there, it's not a very good house to live in.
Right.
What kind of house are you? And as I told the kids, the new houses they build today, they're made out of pretty flimsy material.
Yeah.
Some of the houses that I worked on, they have a piece of cardboard that goes on the outside of them instead of plywood. It's a quarter inch thick. And then they put the siding on it, which is an eighth inch thick. So you got 3/8 of an inch before you get to your insulation and the drywall.
Oh, wow.
The older homes are built a lot nicer. The older homes are well built. And I'm speaking in spiritual terms here, by the way. The older people seem to have a better foundation than the younger people. But also, you have to remember, older houses have a lot more clutter. Older houses have a lot more things in them that need to be cleaned out.
Right.
You say, well, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. If you get a new house, there's nothing in it when you move in. It's clean. Christ cleaned, Christ makes your house clean when he moves in.
Yeah.
What do you do with it afterwards? I know I've been in my house for 20-some years. It's full of junk. Because I keep things. So does my wife. And every once in a while, we got to get rid of them. But that's what we do in our spiritual life. We keep things. We keep things that we collect, that we know that we're not going to use them again. We need to get rid of them. But we kind of just keep them in a box, keep them on a shelf. And that's what we do with our worldly life that we're trying to give up. We don't throw it out, put it away. Keep it on a shelf. Keep it up in the attic. Keep it down in the basement.
Yeah.
Until your basement leaks and you got to throw it out because it got all wet. Sometimes you need to clean your house out.
Yeah.
Spring cleaning. Spring's around the corner. There may be some things in your house, spiritually speaking, that you need to get rid of, that you've been holding on to, that makes a dirty home, that makes an unclean home for Christ to live in, that you need to get rid of. You need to, and I ask everyone, I'm sure there's more people here, I ask the kids, how many of you know the show Clean Sweep? How many people have ever seen that show Clean Sweep? How many people need to make a clean sweep in their homes that they live in, but how many of us need to make a clean sweep in a home that Christ lives in? We all have something that we need to get rid of. We all have something that we need to take out to the trash. We need to be a good home for Jesus Christ so he can build his home, so he can build you up spiritually. If we can build our home here, then we'll build this home here.
Yeah.
And then we'll build the home out there, his house. But if we don't ever build our house here, we're never going to think about building this house here. And we're never going to think about building the house out there.
Yeah.
We're only worried about our fleshly house that we're living in, just like in Haggai. You live in your sealed homes, but my house is lying in waste. We live in our fleshly homes, but God's house is lying in waste. Because, and I'll be honest with you, it's hard to live a Christian life. It's hard to get rid of the world. Nobody said it was easy.
Right.
But if you look in Haggai, turn back to Haggai. And I'm almost done. Haggai chapter 1, verse 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of their host, their God. And then in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. It's hard work to build a house. It doesn't come easy. It's hard work to build your house for Jesus Christ. It's not an easy thing to do. You don't just get saved and say, okay, Lord, take me away, build me up. You have to work at it. You have to, the Bible talks about dying to yourself. You have to die to yourself every single day. You say, well, what does that mean? How do I die to myself? And this preacher always says, now don't go home and kill yourself. I'm not taking it literal. Don't go home and you have to kill yourself every day. You have to deny the flesh and live in the spirit. The book of Romans talks about living in the spirit and denying the flesh because Christ lives in you now. So now you're not living in the flesh, you're living in the spirit because he dwells inside of you. But you have to deny that. Like Colossians says, you have to let God rule in your hearts. You have to let the Lord work in you. You have to let the Lord show you what to do. Let the Lord, when he tells you to get rid of something, then get rid of it. If the Lord tells you not to do something, then don't do it. If the Lord tells you to do something, then you need to do that. But you need to listen to him. You need to let him rule your heart. Let him show you what to do. Let him build your house. And it's not easy. It's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy denying the world. I'm not going to say that it is, because it's not. Because there's music that I hear, I think, hey, that's a pretty cool song, because I used to listen to that music, but you know what? I can't listen to that music, because that doesn't build my house spiritually. That discourages the spirit that lives inside of me.
Yeah.
That frustrates the spirit in me.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, it's just music. It is just music, but it's not the music that God, that Christ wants to hear.
Yeah.
It's not the music that he wants to listen to. That doesn't build up him.
Right.
There's certain shows that you can't watch on TV. There's shows that I like to watch, but I can't watch them because they don't, They don't talk about good things. They don't have a good thing for my spirit, for my home that I want Christ to live in. That's not good for him. I like it because I'm a fleshly person. My spirit doesn't like it. You have to deny that. You have to deny that to yourself. You have to die to yourself daily. We need to do that as Christians. In order to get anything done out there, we have to get it done in here first. Yeah. We have to get it done inside of ourselves. And that's, you have to consider what you're doing to do that. Don't look at other people and say, well, I can never do what they do. I can never be as spiritual as a preacher. I can never do what they're doing. I can never dress the way they're dressing. You can do what you can do through the Holy Spirit. Every person is different. Every person is on a different level of growth. But you have to have that desire. The Bible talks in Peter, desire the sincere miracle of the word that you may grow thereby. If you don't desire to read the Bible, if you don't desire that spiritual food, you're not going to grow. Yeah. You're going to stay stagnant. You're going to lie in waste.
Right.
How do you get that desire? The more that you feed the Spirit, the bigger it grows.
Yeah.
And I give an example to the kids. If you have two dogs, the one that you feed the most is going to get the biggest. It's pretty simple. If you feed your fleshly dog more, he's going to get bigger and your spirit's going to get smaller. If you feed the spirit more, he's going to grow and your flesh gets weaker. The more that you feed it, the more it desires. Just like a kid. The more you feed a kid, and Austin's a teenager now, the more you feed a kid and the bigger he gets, the more he wants to eat. If you have a teenager, you know that. And that's the way it happens. That's the way it happens with us spiritually. The more that we feed it, the more that we want, the more that it's going to grow, the more food you have to give it. If I stop feeding him, he'll stop eating because I won't feed him, and he'll end up dying, wither away and die.
Right.
But the more I feed him, the more he's going to grow, the more he's going to need food. That's what happens in our spirit. If you look at Haggai, verse 14 says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. The Lord stirred up the spirit. Haggai came and spoke to him, the man of God. We had a man of God here Sunday. And yes, it was the preacher. He is the man of God. Because when you say the man of God, it says, well, who was that? We had a guest speaker. I didn't know that. You laugh, but that's the truth. People think, well, we got to have somebody else come in so we can get our spirit stirred. We got to have Dr. Gray come in. We got to have whoever come in so we can stir up our spirit. He can stir up your spirit
yes.
as long as your spirit's not squashed by you.
Yes, right.
Because we're the ones that quench the spirit.
Yep.
We're the ones that keep the spirit down. It's no wonder that our heart can't get stirred and our spirit stirred up when he preaches because we're not doing it on our own at home. You can say, well, I go to church twice a week. Isn't that good enough? Am I building my house? Am I feeding them enough? If that's all you do, that's definitely not enough. If I only fed my son twice a week, he'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
We laugh at that, but consider it in yourself. How much did you feed yourself? How much are you lifting up your spirit so when you do come to church and he preaches like he did Sunday, and every Sunday when he pours out his heart and tries to stir our spirit to do things for God, when he does that, do we just sit there? Yeah, that was a good message. Good job. Or is our spirit stirred?
Yeah.
Or we have that desire to pray. And when he said, when he looked at his own life, and he looks at his own life, he doesn't look at all you, what are you guys doing wrong? He looks at himself first.
Right.
And as Brother Dave always says, when he preaches, he's preaching to himself first, and I find that to be true of myself. When I read the scripture and it hits me, then I have to think of myself first. Consider my ways, what am I doing? My worst quality is not praying. And that's a bad quality to have. But it's something that I have to do. I have to let God, in order to feed him, I have to pray. In order to feed him, I have to read my Bible. Those are things that my fleshly body does not want to do. Because in Romans, as preacher teaches, the flesh is enmity against God.
Yes.
The flesh hates God. Our
yes.
flesh doesn't like spiritual things.
Right.
My flesh doesn't like to read my Bible. My flesh doesn't like to get down on my knees and pray. My flesh likes to sit there and watch TV. Because
yeah.
to be honest with you, I grew up watching TV. I did. I don't know if you have, but I watched all kinds of shows. That's my wife. There's probably not a show that I don't know. I watch TV all the time. So that's one thing I have to die to myself of doing is watching TV. And I can, to be honest with you, I can get interested in anything. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. I can just turn it on and be halfway over and I'll watch it. Because I'll get interested in it. That's just how I am. That's something that I have to do better at not doing. I like watching, again, all kinds of sports. But I have to die to myself and get my Bible and read it. Die to myself and go pray. Now, I listen to spiritual music. That is one thing I do. I do. That is one thing that I do because I like listening to good Christian music. Amen. I like listening to music that makes me think about God. I like listening to, and I do like listening to preaching. I like putting in a preaching tape and listening to it because the more you hear, just like I was saying, the more I feed it, the more I want. The more I want to feed my spirit. But I want you to consider, what are you doing to build God's house? Are you doing everything you're supposed to be doing to let God build His house? And consider, what are you doing to discourage that house being built? Think to yourself, what am I doing to build it? What am I doing to discourage it? Consider your ways. What are you doing to build God's house on an infirmary road? Are you praying for it every day? Preacher asked us to fast and pray this week. Have you done that? Have you even considered doing that? Consider your ways means think about what you're doing. Think about the things that are going on. Consider your ways. What are you doing to build this house here that we're in right now, this auditorium? Are you happy with what we have? If we were really concerned about building this house, we would have more people than we have here tonight. We would have people that would be concerned about coming to church and building their house. If we build our house, then that'll catch and other people will build their house. And then consider, what are you doing to build your spiritual house that Christ dwells in? And what are you doing to discourage that? One more thing I want you to consider. If you're not a saved person here today, then you have a home that's vacant. You have a home that Christ is not living in. The Bible talks about consider your ways. Consider which way you're going to go when you die. Because you're going to go some way. You're either going to go down or you're going to go up. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. There's only two ways to go. Which way are you going to go? When you die, when you take your last breath. And we don't know when it's going to be. Could be right now. Could be tomorrow. Consider your ways. Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this night, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord. And I just pray that you'll be with us tonight, Lord. Help us to consider what we're doing, Lord, to build your house. Lord, consider which way we're going, Lord, when we do die, whether we're going to heaven or hell, Lord. And I ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's all bow our heads in prayer. I wonder tonight, how's our house looking? Who's been getting fed lately? The spirit or the flesh? Maybe tonight be a good night to get at the altar and just pray, oh God, help me to feed the spirit. And while you're down praying, maybe you could say, God, move the heart of Lasco Foundation that we could build that new building. Maybe you've just got some special needs tonight. I know a lot of you are facing different things. And you'd say, preacher, pray for me. I've got an unspoken request. Pray for me. Yes. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah, see that hand way back. Yep, God bless you. Yep, see him up here in the front. We're going to pray. And Rosie's just going to play the piano softly. And if you want to come while she's playing, you come and pray. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us, Father, to be concerned about building that temple that we live in. And Father, help us, Lord, draw close to you that we might walk with you and know you well. I know if we do those things, everything else falls in place. Help us tonight, Father, and Lord, even as Bobby was preaching. Thank you for the message. I pray for people at home tonight that couldn't come. I pray that you'll be with all those that are in hospitals and homesick. Watch, and there's Captain Freimeyer. He's here tonight, but Lord, heal his leg up. I just pray that you'll bless our people now. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.